Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide and need your regular prayers. And now, here is today's presentation.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory be to you.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you do, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, as they may be praised by others for their actions. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like hypocrites, for they discover their faces. They disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. And truly, truly I say to you, Jesus, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father in heaven, who is in secret. And your Father who's in secret, he will reward you. Do not lay up your treasures for yourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also." This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts present be worthy in your hearing, Lord. Amen. Watch out. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. All residents of the land tremble. Why should they? Why should they sound the trumpet and tremble? Because the day of the Lord is coming. In fact, it's close at hand. Jesus and Paul are teaching a similar message. Lent is the time for you and I to reassess our motives, our integrity, our behaviors. This is why Ash Wednesday and this whole Lenten season is so important even today. This world we live in is not a holy place for us. We are surrounded by adulterous people, godless people, people influenced by darkness. And here we gather together to encourage each other this Sunday morning. Encourage each other to be holy and contrite and genuinely sorrowful for our indifference to God's will for us. It's not too late. We need to respond to God's love, seek his righteousness and his holiness. You know, in Jesus' day, the world of the chosen people was also bleak. It was also dark. They are conquered by a pagan empire, forcing them to live in distress and suffering. But this is not an excuse for ungodly living, Jesus was teaching them on the Sermon on the Mount. No, now is the time to take stock of yourself, Jesus was saying. Check your attitudes, your behaviors and motives. And Jesus is relentless in his teaching about righteousness. The reward, however, is worth it. Jesus' teaching this morning is known as the Sermon on the Mount. He's sitting on a mountainside near Capernaum, just above the Lake of Galilee. Crowds are large, following him everywhere. This Sermon on the Mount really begins Jesus' teaching on what he expects people to do to receive the blessings of God's kingdom. You can find it in our Bible if you turn to chapter 5 with a famous passage on the Beatitudes, and it continues right through to the end of Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount. This morning we are focusing only on verses from Matthew 6. And Jesus continues to raise the bar. He continues to raise the bar for all us believers. He's teaching about three things he identifies that we, you and I, need to focus to conform to God's will for us. First on the list is our attitude toward giving, as you heard that in the scriptures this morning, sharing our blessings. Second is the attitude we have towards praying. And the third is our attitude toward fasting. The first focus is clear. Jesus takes giving money, sharing our blessings, as a natural act for Christians. We are expected to share our blessings. But he said, watch out. Watch out. Don't do your sharing in public to be admired by others, because that's the admiration that you'll be only receiving. You won't get anything from God. Whatever blessings, large or small, you've had, depending on your income, not at all. No. Whether you're a big income earner or a small income earner, Jesus expects us to share our blessings. This is the rock that many people strike and shipwreck on, sharing their blessings. They're not generous with their money. They choose to lay up their money treasures on this earth. And Jesus says, if you do so, you're not laying up treasures where it really counts, in the heavenly account. There was a time when I did not follow biblical-based giving. I gave a small amount based on being a young businessman with a young family, a wife. I thought it was so irresponsible to keep most of my money for myself, pay my bills. It was only well after I'd grown into a relationship with Jesus that I discovered the truth. God has a plan, and he will bless each of us if we follow his plan. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves can break in and steal. He says, store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, Jesus said, there the desires of your heart will be also. Yes. Yes, you and I are expected to use our money for our families. Absolutely. Completely right. He's blessed you with whatever you have for the purpose of maintaining your family. But he also wants us to be generous. Also wants us to seek out the poor and the needy and the less blessed than you are. And your Father, who sees everything you do, he will reward you. It's simply the truth. The second practice Jesus focuses on is his followers, he's teaching all about prayer. Practice your faith by praying to God the Father at all times and in all situations. Paul told us that. But don't draw attention to your praying. Do it quietly and inconspicuously. But pray. He hears you. He knows your heart. And he needs to hear from you also. He needs to know that you're reaching out to him. Not because he doesn't know what's on your heart, but he wants you to commit yourself to his will, to his guidance, to his support in your time of need. Praying will enhance and deepen your relationship with Jesus. He knows that. He wants you to pray. He's not aloof or indifferent to you. He knows what you need, So watch out. Don't you be aloof or indifferent to praying. Make it a priority every day, any time of day. Go to Jesus in prayer. Lent is the time to renew or kickstart your personal time with Jesus in prayer. And then the third thing Jesus talked about on this reading from the Sermon on the Mount. He knows that fasting will enhance your prayer life. During Lent, there's a Christian tradition of fasting. Fasting is primarily an act of choosing abstinence of food or a decrease of a certain kind of food or a certain kind of drink, alcohol or coffee. Denying yourself chocolate or pizza or any kind of food that is important to you, you can't live without. Well, during the 40 days of Lent, why don't you try it? Fasting requires self-control. It requires discipline. As we deny the natural hunger pains we are reminded of when we are fasting, we know we are now praying with God's hearing, with God hearing us in a more profound way. He directs our hunger toward God. We can have more spiritual clarity when we fast. It may also allow us to hear God more clearly and seek his guidance in this noisy world of ours. Through the denial of our favorite things, we become more convicted about our faith. Now, some Christians are inclined to add a discipline, and that's a great idea. Or a spiritual focused activity. That's a good idea too during Lent. Possibly setting time early in the morning before the family's up so you can do your personal prayer. Think about what you want to share with him. Be open to what he is sharing with you. You might read a Lenten devotional. You might specifically pray for family members who don't know Jesus. Family members who do know Jesus but who are hurting right now, either financially or in health or any other condition. Lift them up in that quiet time of your prayers. Pray intently for friends, people at work that are being challenged. God knows your needs. He is listening. Fasting can help intensify your prayer life. Biblical convictions are essential for spiritual growth and maturity. What is ironic today is that people often have stronger convictions about weak issues like hockey teams, where the guys who love the Maple Leafs or the guys that love the Senators will have a great explanation of why they're great teams. Or you can have a great debate on mask or no mask in this current COVID experience that we're talking about. A lot of noise about nothing in some cases. While we may have a weak, wimpy conviction about major Christian values and issues, what is right and what is wrong? In Jesus' day, God's chosen were waffling in their convictions. They were waffling in their Christians to live by the truth. And Jesus chose to stand on that mountain in Galilee, knowing that they were persecuted, knowing that they had other priorities. And he talked to them three major priorities we talked about today. Today's challenges for Christians, well, how do you make a stand for life in the womb? Or at the end of life, natural life? Dealing with increasing pressures. Or do we deny gender? Boy, I find how right now we're really being challenged every corner, almost every day, to think that young girls playing in sports, going into a dressing room preparing for a gymnastics event or a basketball game, are going to have to contend with boys in that locker room because the boys have decided they're girls. It's not right. Some people are just waffling on the decision. They're saying, oh, it's okay, what can we do? There's a war on families. The family unit is being challenged powerfully by the media, by the culture, and by big tech social media. They focus on worldliness, promiscuity, pornography, and lifestyles across the planet. And the Canadian government is against the Judeo values, the Judeo-Christian values that we were established on in 1867. Legislation is passing now that denies the Christian values. It becomes clear that there are a single theme that links these various themes of the Sermon on the Mount together. Integrity is one. Jesus is inviting the following or people that are following him in the crowds to a life of integrity. A life that is lived on in principle, not for appearance. A life that is noteworthy as Christians, not indifferent to his death on the cross for our salvation. In an age when we are bombarded each and every day with thousands of advertising images telling us what we have is insufficient, I ask, what are our values? What are you and I focusing on? What really matters? And so as I close, to his disciples then and now, Jesus is warning him, and his command is very simple. Focus on what gives value and meaning to your life, and avoid what takes away from personal integrity and our Christian walk. If we can do that, we can live a healthy and full life and make this world a better place. Lent is that time to renew our walk. The epistle today declares God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their sins against him, if they accept Christ and become a new creation through him. So Paul proclaims, I tell you this, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. Do you hear the trumpet call on your heart to turn and renew your relationship with Jesus? I pray you do. Amen. Would you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. That prayer is part of the Sermon on the Mount that we just jumped over to do what we did this morning. So it's a powerful message. I love it. That's so good. Oh Lord, show us your mercy.
And manage your salvation.
Oh Lord, save our nations.
And by his way, justice and truth.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
And make your chosen people.
Oh Lord, save your people.
And bless your inheritance.
Give peace in our time, oh Lord.
For only you can be saved and saved.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten. Create us clean hearts, O God.
And take not your Holy Spirit from us.
A colic for peace. Together. O God, who are the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us with your humble servants in all assaults of our enemies, that we may trust in
your defense.
May not fear the power of any adversaries through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Don't you want that wonderful blessing of peace and shalom, eh? Well, we continue with a prayer for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Defend us by thy mighty power, that we may not fall into sin, nor run into any kind of danger, and that guided by your Spirit, we may do what is righteous in your sight.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Don't you find it fascinating how the prayers out of the prayer book, the BCP, and the services that we've been using, they all fit together with the theme of the Bible, don't they? I'm not surprised, really, but I always love the way it knits together so well. Now would you join me in the general thanksgiving? Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, our preservation, and all the blessings of this life, and above all for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, and for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website gncm.ca, and be sure to share your good news if you've come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding, and accompanying love.